us to do it more. Amen. Matthew chapter 26 this morning, and I'm thankful to be here. Thankful that the Lord has been merciful to us and given us another opportunity to be in His house. And I will say this morning, of course, part of the morning's already gone, but don't waste the opportunity. Don't fail to worship this morning. And I'll tell you, every time you come in the house of God, it might be your last. It could be your last. And I'm going to tell you this, nothing is certain anymore except the Lord. And so let's always seize the opportunity when we have it, because I'm telling you, when that day comes and you can't be here, you're going to would to God that you would have seized the opportunity even greater when you are here. And so don't fail to worship this morning. In Matthew 26, and just a thought this morning I want to give you, starting with verse number 57, and we'll read several verses here, starting in verse number 57 of chapter number 26 of the book of Matthew. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priest and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. The high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witness? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, we need thy divine anointing and thy help. Lord, we realize we're nothing without you. Holy Spirit of God, I stand where the arm of flesh has failed me and will fail me. And Father, this morning we need your power and your presence. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, you'd roam up and down the aisles and in and out of the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you'd cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self, that you'd be with my stammering lips of clay. Help me to say nothing does not need to be said, but everything that does. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In our text this morning, Jesus has just been betrayed by Judas, and he's been arrested. He's then brought here, as we see, before Caiaphas the high priest, as well as the Sanhedrin, to be tried by false accusations in hopes that they could somehow find cause to put him to death. They had blood on their minds. It seemed everything was coming together just like Jesus had prophesied all throughout his earthly ministry, how that multiple times he had said that he'd be betrayed and he'd be arrested, and all throughout his earthly ministry he had prophesied that ultimately he was going to be crucified. And all of that was beginning to happen just like he said. In fact, this was the very reason he came. The Bible tells us that Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The Bible tells us he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Literally, he was born to die. But there's another story that's taking place in this passage behind the scenes. And it's what I want to speak to you about this morning. It's what I want to focus our time on. There's a man here by the name of Peter, who was a disciple of Jesus Christ. We know that that word disciple means follower. Bible gives us a phrase, I want you to notice it with me in verse number 58, regarding Peter, that I want to draw a thought out of this morning, if you'll look at it with me. The Bible says, and watch it, but Peter followed him afar off. But Peter followed him afar off. I want to preach this morning on this simple thought, following but far off. Following but far off. As you study out this passage of Scripture this morning, we see that following Jesus far off led Peter down a path and down a road that he never meant to go. It was a path that took him further and further and further every step away from the Lord and away from the things of God. And tragically, I want to say it's a path that I believe many people are on today. Tragically, I believe that this path that Peter went down is a path that many Christians are on today. I want you to understand this morning that Peter in our text is saved. He's already been saved by the good grace of God. We can look back at it in Matthew chapter number 16, where there the Lord asked Peter, he says, "Who do men say that I am?" Well, some say that thou art Elias, some John the Baptist, and some Jeremiah. And then he asked Peter the pointed question, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter got it right. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so understand this morning, we're dealing with a man who is saved. Yet, despite his salvation, he's not living like somebody that's saved. And Peter's following the Lord afar off. We find him distant from God. And while he may still technically be following God, he's following him, but he's far off. There are people in this room this morning that you're not following the Lord as close as you one time followed God. There's no doubt people here that you're saved, and there's been a time in your life that you've trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. But if you'd be honest this morning with God, and if you'd be honest this morning with yourself, that your heart has grown cold on God. Your heart has grown distant on God. You may still be coming to church. You may still be involved in some ministry. You might still be going through the motions, but there's the fire in your heart has grown cold. The fire in your heart's nearly went out. You see, there was a time that Peter was always by the side of the Lord Jesus. You may remember that time that Peter was very zealous about the Lord Jesus, back in that time when Peter, the short time before they come to arrest Jesus here in our text, there was a time that they came there and to arrest the Lord Jesus. And the soldiers come to take hold of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that Peter drew his sword and cut off that soldier's ear. That time wasn't very far from our text. But now Peter's allowed himself to grow cold on the Lord. He's allowed himself to lose that same great zeal for God. And while not very long ago he was ready to fight all the way to the death for his Lord, now he's not even too willing to admit that he knows him. You've seen in our text he's denied him three times. I venture to say there's people in this room this morning who were once like a Peter. There's people in this room, no doubt, that there was a time when you're like, oh, you can go back and you can remember back. Brother Joe started talking about it a minute ago. If you can't remember that time, or if you don't go back to that time and thank the Lord for that time, something's wrong. But no doubt there's people here this morning that you can go back to that time in your life, that time where you thought that God was everything and serving the Lord was everything in your life. Maybe it was a time when you were younger. Maybe you got saved, you were on fire, and maybe this other things got in the way. Maybe it was a time maybe it's a time when you were more involved before maybe you let go of some things and you stopped doing some things in the work of God, and that time you were blowing and going. One of the things that I don't ever want to be is I don't want to be a used to. And I'm going to tell you something. They're sitting all over church buildings all over America, used to, as I used to do this, and I used to do that, and I used to do the other. Can I tell you this? God today says, what have you done for me lately? We live in a world, listen, where we want to live on our past and we want to relish in our past, but I'm telling you every single day, hallelujah, there's new mercies and there's new grace. Hey, it's only by the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. But listen, His compassions fail not. They are new every single morning. Great is His faithfulness, and is His grace and His mercy and His compassions is new to us every morning. Ought our service be new to Him every morning? Oh, yes. I don't know when it was, but I venture to say that there's some people in this building that there was a time that you were closer to God than you are today. Maybe it was before you lost somebody near and dear to you, and that has put a bitter spirit in your heart. That's put a critical spirit, made a critical spirit in your life, and through those circumstances, the devil has been successful at stealing the joy of the Lord in your life. Maybe it was before you got some new job or you got some new career, and now that job has your affection, and now that career has your attention, and now you're trying to climb the corporate ladder, and now you're concerned with making a name. I don't know when it was. Maybe it was a time that you were closer to the Lord when you were walking through that health problem, and boy, it's amazing how we scoot up to Him then, and God seen you through, and God delivered you, and everything's good, and everybody's healthy, and we don't need God anymore to walk that close with Him. Maybe it was that financial situation that you had to lean on the Lord and God had to make a way. But now everything's all right. Whatever that time is and was in your life, the Holy Spirit's already pinpointed in your heart that you're not as close to God as you once were. That you're not walking as near to Him as you once did. If you'll be honest, that time was the greatest time in your life. That time when you came and church wasn't a burden, but it was a blessing. That back in that time where it wasn't that I have to go, but it was that I get to go to the house of God and to church. Man, I start looking forward to church on Monday, amen, for Sunday. Hey, listen, I love it. It's not because I'm the preacher. I've always been that way. I can tell you this, listen, there ought to be in our life an excitement about we get to come and worship our worthy Lord and Savior. You'll remember you couldn't wait for that piano to start playing, man, you come in. You couldn't wait for that piano to start pumping. You couldn't wait for that choir to start singing. You couldn't wait for that preacher to open the text and start preaching from the Word of God. And if he said God or Jesus or blood, if it's in the Bible, it was good. And you said, glory to God, hallelujah, amen. I'm saying this morning, when was that time that there was a greater intimacy between you and God? We begin to look at our text here of Peter following him afar off. There was a time he was so much closer to the Lord. But he allowed distance to become between him and the Lord. And I believe there are many Christians this morning that that's the case. I want to preach this morning, as I said, on following but far off. I want you to look with me in our text here. We're going to take our main text out of, we'll take it out of this passage. Look at me at verse number 58, and we'll look at something here in a moment. I want you to notice, first of all, the folly that results in following afar off. The folly that results in following afar off. I'm going to tell you something. It's a downhill spiral. Notice, first of all, where we see Peter, number one, at the wrong place. We see Peter at the wrong place. Look at verse number 58. But Peter followed him afar off, watch this, unto the high priest's palace. Or unto the high priest's courts is where that is. He followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace. Can I tell you this? The high priest's courts was not a place where they honored the Lord. Peter's already, drifted that far, and he's already not in the place where he ought to be. That wasn't a place that they honored the Lord, but it was a place where very much they dishonored the Lord. It was a place where they spoke bad things against the Lord. In fact, the Bible tells us here in verse 59 that in this place, the high priest's court was a place that they sought false witness against him. They spoke blasphemous things against him. They mistreated him. They falsely accused him. In verse number 67, there's where they spat in his face. The things that went on there at the high priest court were things that dishonored the Lord Jesus. More and more every day, Christians, because they've strayed and because they're not walking as close to the Lord as they used to, more and more every day, Christians are frequenting places and Christians are visiting places and Christians are showing up in places that they have no business going to, no business being at, no business frequenting. Oh, listen, because it dishonors their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I say this? There used to be places where Christians simply did not go. Why? Because they knew it would dishonor their Savior. It would dishonor their Lord. And so because of that, if for no other reason, they didn't go to those types of places. They understood that their bodies was the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and I'm not going to carry God into a place that would dishonor Him. But what happens when you try and follow Jesus afar off is eventually you get lost. You lose track of where He's at. Eventually, it's as almost as if you can't even find Him anymore. And the more distance and more distance that you allow between you and Him, the harder it is to make all the right decisions, the harder it is to stay on track. Listen to me, please. The further you get from the Lord, the harder it is for you to stay right in your own life. Eventually, you end up somewhere you never intended to go. Eventually, you find yourself in the wrong places. And how do Christians grow cold on God? How do Christians end up away from God? How do Christians wake up one morning and find themselves in wrong places? I'll tell you how. It's because they allowed a step, and then two steps, and three steps, and five steps, and eight paces between them and the Lord. They begin to grow cold on God. Can I tell you, for a fire to stay burning, it has to be stoked. I know folks who used to be some great soul winners. I'm talking about used to love God, used to teach Sunday school, used to work bus routes effectively, and they've allowed distance to develop between them and the Lord, and they begin to just follow afar off. Now the husband and even some of the daughters have been seen out in bars and honky-tonks and places that they have no business being, places that absolutely wouldn't bring honor to God, but instead dishonor to God. I'm simply saying this morning that, listen, friend, it is a slippery slope when we allow space and we allow distance between us and the Lord, and we allow that relationship to be strained, and we get away from God. You say, preacher, that'd never be me. You better stay close. You better stay close. There are people right now that they're frequenting these places that there was a time they loved God as much as you love God, maybe more. There was a time they served God better than you served God, maybe better than I served God. There was a time that they were blowing and going for God, and yet I'm telling you, they're at places now that dishonor the very name of the Lord. These places are filled with all kinds of ungodly music and nothing but sex and drugs and cheating and an immoral lifestyle, those kinds of things that dishonor the Lord. If you think that you can frequent a place like that and it not affect your relationship, by the way, you're badly mistaken. That's the kind of places you end up when you follow afar off. Notice the second thing, not only the wrong place, but notice the wrong people. In verse 58, notice it says there in verse number 58 that he sat with the guards. In Luke 22, I'll give it to you, don't have to turn there. In verse 55, it says, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, this is the same, it's just Luke's account of it, same setting. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, watch this, Peter sat down together with them. Peter sat down with them. So now he's with the wrong crowd. The Bible says this, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, watch this, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What in the world is a servant of the Most High God doing with people who hate the Lord? I want to say this morning. You know, you got this crowd. It's amazing now, isn't it? And I'm not trying to get political. I'm just trying to be honest. It's amazing this morning how that immediately the other side, they come out and they say, well, now we just all need to get along. Now it's time to just put all our differences aside. Now, well, what about the last 4 years? Huh? Well, hey, you know what the Bible says? Watch this. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen? They were the wrong people. Listen to me. Don't you yoke up with the wrong crowd under the banner of politics. Don't you yoke up with the wrong crowd under the banner of unity, because we can't be unified. How can two walk together? Hey, the Lord said this. What does light have in common with darkness? What does the Spirit of God have with the spirit of a lie? That's Satan. Nothing. If you don't stay close to God by scooting up to His table every single day and feasting off of His Word, if you don't spend time seeking His face and fellowshipping in prayer, coming to His house at every opportunity, listen to me, you're going to turn around and not very long down the road, you're going to find yourself in a crowd of people. You're going to find yourself at a place that you have no business being, and it's going to be a place and a people that dishonor your Savior. Notice another thing, the wrong posture. Look with me at verse number 58. Once again, the Bible says, Peter sat. Peter sat. Whew. This might even tie into what we're going to preach tonight. I don't know if God's going to give me liberty or not, but we'll see. What in the world is Peter doing sitting by, just idly watching all this injustice that's taking place with the Lord Jesus Christ? Here Peter sits when he should have been standing for Christ, when he should have been sounding out for Christ, when he should have stayed with God and went on for God. He sat and he listened to all those false accusations and mistreatment of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the time when Peter should have got a backbone and Peter should have stood in protest for his Lord. But can I tell you this? When you're following afar off, you lose your zeal. When you're following afar off, you lose your composure. When you follow afar off, you lose your boldness. When you follow afar off, you lose your witness. And when Peter should have been standing, he was sitting. And I'm going to tell you that you'll be sitting, condoning when you should be standing and condemning if you follow the Lord. You allow that distance to come between you and Him. How do you think that our nation has gotten so far away from the Lord Jesus? How do you think that we've spiraled this far out of control that, listen, no matter which way this thing goes, irregardless, millions and millions and millions of people voted for evil, voted for wickedness, voted for ungodliness. How do we get there? Because too many Christians for far too long have been following afar off from Christ. And when the time come to stand, they just sat and they allowed Christ to be kicked out of everything. Christ to be kicked out of school. Christ to be kicked out of homes. Christ to be kicked out of all off of our government buildings. Name of God, the Word of God. I want you to notice another thing down this road of distance. You have the wrong perspective. Look at verse 58 again. But Peter followed him afar off in the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants, watch this, to see the end. Peter had the wrong perspective. This wasn't the end at all. This was the beginning of the Lord's gospel program. This ushered in the day of grace. This was the beginning of evangelism. This wasn't the end at all. But when you follow the Lord afar off, you have the wrong perspective. Those that are close to the Lord can see and understand what's taking place in our world today. You can see and know that God, that God is raising us up for such a time as this. You can look and see. Listen, I know plenty of people who used to have the right perspective of life. They used to have the right perspective about everything that's going on, and the main thing stopped being the main thing, and they begin to make the minuscule things of life the main thing, and all the temporal things of this world became important to them. And before you knew it, they were chasing money, and before you knew it, they were chasing things, and before you knew it, they were chasing fame. And I'm saying, what happened? They lost their perspective when they began to follow Him afar off. How is it today that the divorce rate's well over 50% among Christians? How is it today that nearly 2/3 of Christian men are addicted to pornography? How is it today that alcohol and drugs is running rampant throughout our Christian circles? Forget the world. It's because there was a time in their life they were saved. There was a time in their life they had a relationship with the Lord. They walked closely to God, and it was all about the Lord in their life. It was all about the Lord in their home. It was all about getting their family to the Lord. It was all about seeing people saved. It was all about coming to church. It was all about reading their Bible. It was all about praying to God. There was a time they were on fire for the Lord. There was a time that with their marriage they honored God. There was a time with their home they honored God, but they began to hang out at the wrong places. They began to hang out with the wrong people. They knew it before. They had their own posture. And now they had their own perspective. We see the folly in following afar off. Notice the second thing quickly, the forsaking. The forsaking that's involved from following afar off. Number one, he forsook his personal Savior. Look at me at verse 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. He forsook his personal Savior. Not only that, but he forsook his place of service. In John chapter 21, in verse number 3, I'll read it to you. John 21, verse number 3. Same account, pretty much, pretty close. Verse number 3, the Bible says this. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. Peter had reached a point in his life that he had simply ran out and deserted the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't happen overnight. So, preacher, what in the world? I mean, what's the big deal about coming to church? It's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Number one, y'all don't want to, friend. What's the big deal? You're talking about read your Bible. Is that really that powerful? I read my Bible. Yeah, you read it for 5 minutes one time. What's this prayer stuff? What are y'all talking about prayer? What about witnessing? What about just having a good heart and a good attitude for the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, Peter, he forsook his Savior. He forsook his service. His sins reached to the point that he has deserted the Lord Jesus Christ. And after a while, he simply went back to his old way of life. Peter said, I go a-fishing. Peter was a fisherman by trade. That was his life before the Lord had called him into the gospel ministry. And ultimately, essentially what Peter was saying is, I quit on God. You hear me this morning. Hey, let me tell you something. When people stop doing things, when people get to a point that they start backing off and they start letting go and start, before you know it, I go a-fishing. He abandoned his post as if it was the easiest thing he's ever done. But that's the power of sin. It makes men think that their wrong actions are right. It blinds us of the truth of where we are and where we are and what we ought to be doing. Listen, surely Peter felt as though everything was all right between him and God. Everything's just fine. Have you followed in Peter's footsteps this morning? Are you somebody that would quickly say, well, I hadn't abandoned the Lord. I'm saved. I mean, I'm here after all. Can I just say this? If there's ever been a time that you were closer to the Lord than you are today, somebody walked away. And it wasn't him. If there was ever a time that I'm talking about your life, your fire burned hotter, your love was deeper, your spirit to serve him was stronger. You see, many people have forsaken the Lord at one time in their life. They've got some distance between them and the Lord at one time or another in their life. You say, preach, how do you know that? Well, the most honest answer is because I've been there myself before. Where that fire wasn't as hot. Where that love wasn't as deep. Where that service wasn't as strong. And I understand the dangers of following the Lord afar off. I'm glad that while there's been times I've slipped away from the Lord, I may have slipped on Him some. I may have let go of things I shouldn't let go of. Times I've allowed some distance but come between me and Him. I'm so thankful for those times I slipped on the rock that the rock never slipped on me. I'm glad He's been faithful. Hallelujah. He's been true. He's always been there. The folly, the forsaking, and then notice this one. Don't miss it. The forgiveness. The forgiveness of following the Lord afar off. I am so glad this morning that this story does not end with Peter forsaking God. I'm so glad this story doesn't end with Peter going out to pasture somewhere and Peter just walking away from it all. The Bible says all his disciples forsook him and fled. I'm glad it didn't end with Peter walking away and going fishing. I'm glad the story didn't end with Peter failing as much as he failed. It didn't end up that way. I'm glad it didn't end with him in the wrong places, with the wrong people, having the wrong perspective. But thank God, beside a Roman fire, that night there, as he sat, he received a wake-up call from a strange source. Notice verse 74, chapter 26. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. Watch this. And immediately the cock crowed. But he got a wake-up call. Just as the Lord had predicted that it would happen, just as what he said it was going to happen, a rooster crowed to announce to Peter that he was in the wrong place. He was doing the wrong things. He was with the wrong people, and he had the wrong perspective. The Lord just told him in verse number 34 this was going to happen. When it did happen, Peter began the process of coming back. The Bible says that he went out and wept bitterly. What's it going to take to become a wake-up call in your life? What's it going to take for the Lord to get a hold of your heart and my heart and say, you're not where you used to be? What has to happen? What needs to take place? What trial, tragedy needs to come? What noise needs to be sounded? See, it doesn't happen overnight. That's why it's not so noticeable to us. The devil's a subtle deceiver. It's not so noticeable to us. Because then when it does, we do start to slip. Well, I'm better than they are. I'm more spiritual than they are. I'm more faithful than they are. But they're not the measuring stick. And we can always find somebody less spiritual to boost our ego. Little by little, we allow distance between us and the Lord until one day we wake up and find ourselves in a place like Peter. Can I tell you, even the prodigal had a time in his life where there had to be a wake-up call. Oh, he finds himself, a little Jewish boy, and he's supposed to be around swine. He finds himself there in that pig pen, desiring to eat the husk that them old pigs, them old swine did eat. And the Bible says this, when he came to himself. It's a wake-up call. The prodigal found himself there in that pig pen, this young Jewish boy. And what happened in Peter's life and what happened in this prodigal's life needs to happen in the lives of God's children this morning. Let's look again, thinking about forgiveness. I want you to notice a couple things quickly and I'll be done. Notice, first of all, Peter's repentance, verse 75, chapter 26. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Watch this. And he went out and wept bitterly. There was a repentance that had to take place. Peter's repentance. That's part of the forgiveness. That's part of being able to get back in on what God wants to do with your life. Peter's repentance. Jump on down or look with me at John 21. Go to John 21 quickly. I want you to notice Peter's restoration. I'm glad failure's not final and it's not fatal. I'm glad we serve the God of second chances. John 21, look with me at verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? What's he talking about? The fish. Peter just went fishing. I go fishing. So the Lord has to challenge Peter. It's time of restoration. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. That's what some of you husbands do. And your wife says, you love me? Yeah, honey, you know I love you. And so she has to do like the Lord does. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, honey, do you love me? Right. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. After Peter's failure, he's met by the Lord here early one morning beside the seashore. And there Jesus reminded Peter of his love for Peter. But not only did Jesus remind Peter of his love for Peter, He reminded Peter of his love for the Lord. It was a time of restoration. I believe that there are times in our life that the Lord finds us with the wrong people, the wrong places, with the wrong perspective, in the wrong situation. And we think that he's up there with a hammer and he wants to just smash down, and oh, there is chastisement. I believe God's crying out this morning to so many wayward Christians. So and so, lovest thou me more than these, whatever the these is in your life. Whether it's a job, a career, whether it's a person, whether it's a place, whether it's fame, whether it's fortune. Lovest thou me more than these, his restoration. Then notice quickly, I got to hurry, Peter's revival. Go to Acts chapter 2. The forgiveness. Acts chapter 2. Look with me starting at verse number 14. We won't read the whole text, but we'll read a little bit of it here. Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you know the story here, by the way, they're at Pentecost. Here at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God's descended on them. It's after the cross, Peter's been restored, and now it's at Pentecost. The Bible says in verse 14, Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judah and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. He jumps on down and he gives the gospel and continues to preach. The Bible says that Peter stood up in the power of the Holy Spirit and preached the word of God that 3,000 souls were saved by the good grace of God. This is a man that had just denied him not long before. I'm glad that God can take our failures and turn them into his successes. I'm glad the Lord can take our failures, and if we'll allow Him, listen, if we'll repent and we'll be restored, and then there can be a revival like you've never seen before. God will use you to do things that you could never imagine. I want to say this morning, whether or not you fail or you finish is determined. Listen to me. Whether or not you fail or finish is determined by how close you follow. The people that drop out of the race, the people that do not make it, oh, they might still be there somewhere in the distance. But Paul said, I press toward the mark. Are those that follow afar off? Are you following afar off this morning? Are you walking as closely as you have before to the Savior? You see, the songwriter said it best when they said, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Every single one of us, because we still have the old flesh nature, there's a tendency in all of us to go after the worldly things. There's a tendency in all of us to just get caught up in our own carnal lifestyle and living. There is a tendency in all of us to just get bogged down with the affairs of this life and forget that there is a God in heaven that desires to have a relationship with you. And praise God, He's coming back one day, and I believe it soon, and I don't want to be following afar off. But I want to be walking side by side with my worthy Savior. I don't want to be following Him afar off. The reason that, listen to me, I told you the other day, I believe that we've missed it. I'm talking about that election. I won't go back into all of it. But the reason that we don't catch things as fast as we should catch them about what God's doing on this earth is because we're not walking close enough to Him to have His mind. I want the mind of God, amen. While we stand for prayer, are you following this morning? I know you are. You're here, but afar off.